कुंडनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। Shankara explained about Purnatvam in the 129th shloka. So Purnam, we are all famous with the we are all popular with the famous mantra, famous Shanti mantra, Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate. So Purnam Adah, that is Purnam. Ishvara or the Jagat, whatever, is Purnam. Purnam Idam, this individual Jiva is Purnam. Purnat Purnamudachyate. From the Purna Ishvara, Purna Brahman, this Purnam Jiva has come. Purnasya Purnamadaya. If we take Purnam from Purnam, Purnameva Avashichyate. Purnam alone will remain behind. So if we take off the individual self from Brahman, if we take off the world from Brahman, or we try to remove one from another, still Purnam alone will remain behind because everything is Purnam. So that state of Purnam is also explained or termed in the Chandogya Upanishad as Bhuma. So Bhuma. So Bhuma means that which is perfect, that which is full. So what is the purpose of being full, or what is the use of knowing that which is full? Yo vai bhuma tat sukham. Yo vai bhuma tat sukham. That which is bhuma, yo vai bhuma tat sukham. That is sukham, that will give us anandam. Na alpe sukham asti. There is no sukham in alpam, limited. So man always feels himself as limited. Therefore, he feels himself unhappy. He feels that he is not satisfied. He is not content because he hasn't achieved Purnatvam. Yovai bhuma tat sukham. Na alpe sukham asti. So in alpam, there is no sukham. That is the reason why the world, which is alpam, which is limited, the objects of the world are limited. Therefore, we don't feel happiness out of them. We don't feel happiness out of our whatever we have achieved in life as well, because everything is limited. So that which is unlimited is only Brahman. Only Brahman is unlimited, or that is called as Bhuma. And Brahma Vrittya Puhi Purnatvam. We can gain Purnatvam only by having Brahma Vritti. The more and more we do Purnatvam Abhyaset, the more and more Brahma Vritti we practice, the more and more Purnatvam we will feel. That means we will feel Purnatvam at all points of time. That means Purnatvam will become perfect or complete. We do feel Purnatvam at times, almost like Purnatvam. When we get something good, when we get first rank in something, then we feel Purnam. We feel as if we are complete. But that vanishes. It is short-lived. So there are things which are short-lived or limited by space, limited by happiness, limited by time. So those are limited by time. But that which is not limited by time, that which is desha kala vishayati vartiyate, that which stands beyond desha kalam, that is Brahman. So if we have that Brahma vritti, we'll feel Purnatvam always. So we have to go on practicing it. So after saying that, Vedanta always uses the way of saying or like telling a person to follow something. So there is something called Shad Lingam. So Upakrama Upasamharo Arthavado Upapatti. Upakrama Upasamharo Abhyasa Apurvata Phalam Arthavado Upapatti Shchalingam Tatparya Nirnayam. For us to find out the import of something, import of a work, import of a discourse or a lecture, we have to six lingam, shad lingam. So six lingas. Lingas means they are points or they are ways of finding out the import of a verb. What are that? Those upakrama upasamharam. First is upakramam and upasamharam. Upakramam means starting, upasamhara means ending. So we can know that when a person starts his lecture or discourse, he will start with what he is intending to do. That means the main object of his discourse will be explained, and at the end, upasamharam, at the end conclusion, he'll conclude the topic, means topic is there in that. So with from upakramam and upasamharam, we can find out the essence or import of his topic. And then the second lingam is abhyasaha. Abhyasam doesn't mean practice. Here abhyasam means repetition, that which has been repeated. So we say that, okay, when we speak in a stage for 10 minutes, we will, in order to emphasize something, we will repeat again and again. As much or as long as it takes, we will repeat it. So repetition is another way. Apurvatha, that which hasn't been explained previously. So something new also will attract people. So in a discourse or in a work, if something new has been explained, that means we'll be attracted towards it. We will want to learn it. So that's the third one. So here we can ask, have a doubt that Brahman has already been explained. And so what is apurvata in there? So anytime or anything or any time we speak about Brahman, it is something new. Why? Because Brahman cannot be explained in words. So there are different perspectives to Brahman from the Vyavaharika level. So each and everything we hear about Brahman is new. That's the reason why thousands of works have been written. One work, Ardha Shloka, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, Jivo Brahma Ivanaparaha, is enough. But still thousands or hundreds or thousands of works have been written, are being written, because everything that we speak about Brahman is new. So whatever with Brahman is new, because Brahman itself is new. So if we try to speak about Brahman, even though we cannot speak about Brahman clearly, but still if we try to speak about Brahman, it will be new. Therefore apurvata is there. Apurvata or newness is something which means I am trying to say something new. So that will be the import of my discourse or book. So that is the third one. Phalam, then phalam, you have to speak about what you will get. So when I say that, okay, you will get this, then that means like that whatever I do or like whatever I should do in order to get the phalam, that is the import of the work. So Vedanta speaks about anandam or purnatvam with respect to Brahman or for a person who follows scriptural path. Therefore that means the emphasis, like Brahman has been emphasized, the import of Brahman has been emphasized through the phalam that a person gains by Brahmajnana. That is the fourth thing. And the fifth is Arthavadam. Sixth is Upapatti. Upapatti is using logics, using logical explanation as well as examples. And Arthavadam, the fifth one, is Arthavadam, which we are really interested in now. So Arthavadam means like trying to praise something, over praising of something. So that means Gita, in the Gita or any work has something called Phalashruti, means like that or that portion or that part which speaks about the Phalam. So Phalashruti is speaking about the Phalam. So Phalam that a person will achieve or attain by reading all those. So in Dakshinamurti Ashtakam, Shankara speaks about the Phalam as something he will gain. A person who learns Dakshinamurti Ashtakam and practices it, implements it, he will gain Animahadi Siddhi. So that's not completely true, that's partly true. So a person will not need Animahadi Siddhis because he goes beyond them. That means he doesn't want them. So it may or may not be there. But Arthavadam is meant as a praise. So that might not be exactly true, that may not be completely true. It may be partially true or partly true. So that is called Arthavadam. And Arthavadam can be done in two ways, by praising doing of something as well as saying that you shouldn't do it, or by saying that, okay, if you do this you will gain something, if you don't do this you will gain bad things. So if you do this you will go to Swarga, if you don't do this you will go to Naraga. That is Arthavadam, because Naragam and Swargam is already there in us. It is there in earth itself. So we have to go to some lokam, but again we'll have to come back. Why? Tedam bhuktva swargalokam vishalam chine punye marti lokam vishanti evam tri dharma manu prapannaha gatakadam kama kama lamante labhante, says Krishna, that if somebody does some punya karma and goes to swarga, etam bhuktva swargalokam vishalam, after they have exhausted their swargalokam, the punyam gained which took them to swargalokam. So punyam, when we go to swargalokam, we do punyam, gain more punyam, and we go there. So punyam is like not a fixed deposit, punyam is like a balance, account balance. You have positive account, when it gets exhausted, when you are in swargam and enjoying, so tedam bhuktva swargalokam vishalam bhuktva, after enjoying, what happened? Shine punye, punye shine. When the punyam gets shinam, punyam gets exhausted, martya lokam vishanti, they come back to martya loka. Evam tri dharma anuprapannaha, thus people who like follow the three Vedas or the karmas in the Vedas, they gata gadam kama kama labante, kama kama labante, they attain kamam, kamas, various kamas, gata gadam, by going and coming, going and coming. So that means even swarga is not permanent. So when we say that, okay, swargam, if you do this, you'll go to swargam, if you don't do this, go to naragam, that is kind of arthavadam. So here Shankara is in the next two shlokas, 130 and 131st shloka, he speaks about arthavadam. So he will, in the 130 shlokas, he speaks about a person who doesn't do it. What will happen to a person who doesn't do this? Who doesn't do nididhyasanam? Who doesn't do the sadhana in order to gain aparokshanubhava? And 131st shloka, he speaks about a person who does it. He also extends it in the 133rd and other shlokas. But 130th shloka, Shankara speaks about a person who doesn't do this. So doesn't do what? Doesn't follow Brahma Vritti. Yehi Vrittim Jahatyenam Brahma Khyam Pavanim Param Vrithaivate Tu Jeevanti Pashubhishcha Samanaraha. So as we learnt in the previous shloka, we can have either Bhava Vritti or Brahma Vritti. In Bhava Vritti, we will be enjoying sensual pleasures, and then being, we will be like world between Sukham and Dukkham. We will go into Sukham and into Dukkham. Sukham, Dukkham, that like the Dvandva Bhavam will always be there. But if we have Brahma Vritti, we will go more and more towards Purnatvam. So a person might ask, okay, I am doing sadhana, but I am not feeling satisfied. I am not feeling as if I am progressing. So it may take time. It's something depending on a person's level. So it's like telling, spiritual path is when a person goes out of his house and then he walks in the opposite direction. He walks away from home. So from Kanyakumari he starts, that is, his house is in Kanyakumari, he starts towards Kailas. He starts towards Kashmir. So he's going on. So the first step or the first thing a person needs to do is what? He needs to know that my house is in the opposite direction. That I am going in the opposite direction. He has to turn towards south. So the first step in the spiritual path is knowing that, okay, that is the goal. That is where I have to go to. If you know that much, then majority of the thing is done. Shankara is so speaking about like a person who does Brahma Vritti, who doesn't do Brahma Vritti, what will happen? So even Sukham, Dukkham, Swargam, Narakam, everything is like temporary, it's limited. So it's Arthavadam, that is Shankara taking resort to here. And Arthavadam is also like telling that, okay, if you don't do this, you'll go to Naraka. You won't go to Naraka, but what it exactly means is it will make you do that, because it's a way of telling that you should do it. So Shankara says, ye hi vrittim jahati. So ye hi, those who, ye naam brahmakhyam vrittim, ye naam this brahmakhyam vrittim, this brahma vritti, or the vritti which is Brahma, termed as Brahma or known as Brahman, vritti of Brahman, jahati, they renounce it, they don't do it. And what type of vritti is it? Param pavanim, param, it's a supreme vritti, the ultimate vritti that a person can follow, because it will take us beyond the mind, it will take us to a state of vritti shunyam. Will take us to a state where we won't have any vritti. It will take us to a state we will become perfect, we will become purnam. So it is param, the supreme vritti, and pavanim, it is the purest vritti possible, because it purifies the mind and takes the mind to a higher level. And so those who jahati, those who renounce such a vritti, those who forget such a vritti, such people, vritha eva te, they vrita eva tu jivanti, they live vrita, useless, they live jivanti, they live useless, vrita eva, surely they live without any purpose, they don't have any purpose of their own, they don't, their life or their living doesn't serve any purpose to them as well as to others as well. So is that all? Like, that means like they just don't, their life isn't useful, they live a futile life. Is that all? No, Shankara doesn't stop there. But how do they live? Pashubhishcha sama naraha, they are naraha, they are humans. Pashubhishcha sama, so they are human beings who are very much like or similar to Pashubhihi. And not only that, vritha eva tu jivanti, they live without any purpose, without any use, but pashubhishcha sama naraha, they are humans who are very similar to pashubhihi, means animals. So what do animals do? Animals just eat, drink, sleep, mate, continue the same thing again and again. So we can say that, okay, instead of saying I don't eat and drink, I work, I do good thing, I like create websites, I spread love, I do social service, we can say all those things. But a person who doesn't do, a person who doesn't do Brahmavritti, a person who doesn't do spiritual practices, a person who doesn't know the goal of house, he is just wandering here and there. So I was also speaking about a person going from his house. So we are all people, like a spiritual person is going away from his house, but the first step in spirituality is to know that where is the house and that I have to turn back in order to go to the house. If we know that much, then that is more than enough to take us in one or two births. Once we know that, then we need to strive to work towards that. So people who don't do that, they are just wandering here and there without knowing their house. Though we can say we are social people, we are cultured people, we are civilized people, yet we are no different from animals. So we can call ourselves civilized animals because we also do the same thing. We eat, drink, sleep. We do some other activities like work, social service and all those things. But we don't do anything for our own self. We don't do things which take us to our own house. That means we are wandering people. We are animals. We can call ourselves cultured or civilized animals. So this analogy or comparison of people or humans, people who don't follow spiritual sadhana, to animals is what Shankara also undertakes in his Chatusutri Bhashyam. So there he equates humans or people without vivekam, people who are not following spirituality, as cows. So the speciality of a cow is that you show some grass, you hold some grass in your hand and show it to the cow, it will wag its tail and come towards you. But on the other hand, if you just hold a stick, then the cow will go away. So it means that if you do good things, if you try to pacify the cow or pacify other people, like if you say good thing or praise a person, then the person will come towards you. The moment you don't praise him, he will go away from you. So that's how Shankara equates there. But here it just means that we live without any purpose like animals. Animals just live for the sake of living. They don't serve any purpose to life. Oh, that's not true. Cows do serve purpose. They give milk. So cow is one of the, like, in that aspect, cow at least gives milk, which is food for other people. That's also the reason why cows are considered or worshipped and considered as something very good or something very religious. But we are worse than cows. At least cows give milk. We don't do anything at all. So you can say I do social service. I go to some Sanskrit classes. I learn. I discuss with people and all those things we can say. But unless we follow Brahma Vritti, anything we do, even if it is Vedantic Shravanam or Vedantic Nididhyasanam, we claim ourselves to be do Vedantic Nididhyasanam or go for Pravachanam, Prabhashanam, or discussions, mutual discussion, debates and all, we'll be serving no purpose. Vritha eva tu jivanti. We'll be living without any purpose and living like animals because we don't follow Brahma Vritti. So there's only, like, only there are only two people here. People who follow Brahma Vritti, sadhakas or jivan muktas, they are really living. They are living for the sake of living. They are living to serve the purpose, the ultimate goal of life, which is realization. Realization of one's own nature and realizing that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So they know the reality of the world and thereby they know that the world is an illusion. Thereby they live to in the right meaning of the word. And others who don't follow Brahma Vritti, who consider the world to be real and are deluded into it, though they may be following spiritual practices as well, but they don't know Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Vritha eva tu jivanti. Vritha eva te tu jivanti. So vritha eva te tu jivanti. They live without any purpose. Their life itself is futile and they are similar to animals. So Shankara is here making it very clear that the sadhaka, any sadhaka who is learning this work, should find out himself as to whether he wants to follow Brahma Vritti and live life in the real sense and attain moksha, attain anandam, attain purnatvam, or he wants to live life just for the sake of life and be one with animals. And in one side we know Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, the other side we don't know Brahman. And we consider the world to be real. So any person who doesn't know Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, he cannot follow Brahma Vritti, he cannot follow Purnatvam, and such a person is like an animal. So this is the maximum that Shankara can say. Krishna uses only mudaha or ignorant person. But here Shankara goes one step further, because being the compassionate guru, the Karunamaya guru, who has to take the people of the world, though they are illusory. Oh, why does Shankara have to take people to the goal? Doesn't he know that the world is an illusion? He knows. He is just doing his duty. That's it. From our perspective, the world is there. We are ignorant. So Shankara, from our perspective, Shankara is showing compassion, showing us the direction through compassion. And from Shankara's point of view, he knows that it's an illusion. Just therefore, he just does his duty. He is just doing his duty by propagating knowledge. That's what. And since he is compassionate, he goes one step further to say that people who don't follow this are like animals. They are same with animals. So it's up to us to decide whether we are humans. Human beings are people who are endowed with the sixth sense, which is intellect or the discriminative faculty, which should lead us to Brahma Vritti, which should make us do Brahma Vritti, practice Brahma Vritti. And if we don't have that, then we are same with animals. So we can call ourselves either animals or humans, depending on whether we follow Brahma Vritti or not, whether we know Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya and always remember it, or we just forget it. Though we may know scriptures, it doesn't matter whether we know a lot of scriptures, we learn a lot of scriptures, we can quote scriptures, we can write works, we can write explanation, detailed explanation, analysis of works and all. It doesn't matter. Do we know Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Ivanaparaha? Do we follow it by having Brahma Vritti in our mind? If we don't, then we are animals. Even though we may be Vedantic scholars, we may be good at in giving discourses or writing articles, yet if we don't follow this, we are one with animals. We'll continue with what Shankara says about on the contrary. So he has said that okay, person who doesn't follow it is vritheiva tetu jivanti. He lives, his life is futile, useless, and he is on par with animals. And so he has to speak about if a person follows it, then how can he be considered? What is his presence like? How does his presence help the world? So Shankara here said that a person who doesn't follow it, vritheiva tetu jivanti. So a person who follows it, his life should be useful for himself and others as well. So that's what Shankara will say in the next few shlokas, which we'll see tomorrow. Hari Om.